Hey everyone, welcome back to the Bad Yogi Podcast. I'm Erin Motz, and around here we talk about all things yoga, wellness, lifestyle, mindfulness, and pretty much anything in between. Now, last week I did something a little bit different. I actually brought a very special guest to the episode last week. I actually brought my husband Adrian on, and we did an episode all about mindful relationships and how to infuse more mindfulness into your relationship based on our own experience. And we titled this kind of a tongue-in-cheek way as like relationship therapy. And we had such a huge response that we knew we had to do another episode. So, I mean, I know that you're probably rolling your eyes, but I do want to just disclaim the word therapy here. I mean, I'm using the word therapy in kind of a fun, light way because I do think that it's therapeutic to hear people who you like or people who are within your age range who have a similar mentality talk about their experiences. I do think that it brings a certain degree of extra mindfulness into our lives when we just have these kind of conversations, even though, you know, we're listening instead of having an actual conversation. I do think it's super helpful and therapeutic. So keep the therapy in mind that, you know, we're not therapists. We're just using this as a modern day therapy, I guess. So I guess what I'm trying to say ultimately is that all relationships, we can all agree, all relationships can do better with a little dose of mindfulness added to the everyday stuff. And so that's the aim with this week's episode as well, to just share a little of our experience with other topics with the hope that it will make you a little more aware and mindful in your own life and in your own relationships. So in case you forgot about Adrian, last week, Adrian is my husband, also conveniently the other half of Bad Yogi. He's a co-founder as well. And he's going to be joining me in this conversation as we continue our talk about mindful relationships. What's up, Adrian?
Hi. Was nice that to be here. Thank
I know.
You.
Was this like a very sportsy, broadcasty?
Yeah, no, that was, I was admiring the talent of it. Yeah,
I know. I'm basically
all in one go too.
Exactly. I'm basically a news anchor now. You know, I think I can.
I think you can put it on your resume for sure.
Absolutely. I think here. Yeah. What's Barbara Walters? Here I come.
Yeah.
Or better, Oprah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why not? Of course.
Why not? That's the natural next step for me, I feel, personally. So I thought we could just kind of dive right in because last week there were so many people who wrote in after the fact and had other questions and other topics that they wanted us to cover. And I guess, speaking of awkward transitions, how about life transitions? But this came up a lot. So yeah, that was a really awkward way of bringing it in, but that's true. A lot of people wrote in about handling difficult transitions in life. So whether it was moving or physical changes, essentially how would we handle those in our life? And this one is always, well, not always, not like I talk about this all the time, but this one's a little tough to even figure out where to start because we've been through a lot of chapter changes and transitions in our relationship. If you missed last week's episode, definitely go back and listen, but we've been together for almost 11 years now and we've done a lot of stuff together. So I don't know, I guess one of the more recent transitions, I'm not even going to talk about getting married because honestly, nothing really appreciable changed, like from one day to the next.
No,
you know.
Well, I think one of the reasons for it on that topic is because of all the things that we did before. A lot of time, those are the type of things that you don't do until you're married, like in terms of projects together and things like that. I think that's why it changes so much after you're married, because you start experiencing sides of each other that you didn't experience before.
Exactly. And I think a lot of times it's almost intentional, you know, like you try to keep your crazy to a minimum or your habits or whatever until you can really make sure that the other person is locked and loaded for good. And then you're like, all right, unleash everything. And that's probably not the best way to go.
Yeah, nothing like a project or some kind of life change to throw all that out the window and see what the other person is really like.
Right.
Before getting married, for sure.
Yeah, so marriage wasn't really a major transition for us in that respect, but there have been other things that I think have been way more straining than marriage. And like one that was recent as well was moving overseas. We moved from Tampa, Florida to Nice, France. And despite being familiar with France, like, Adrian is the Frenchman for a reason, so he's born here, but not having lived your adult life here, it was the undertaking of actually moving all of our stuff from Florida to France, our entire life. And I mean, like, this is just basically cutting ties with Florida. Like, we don't have a storage thing, we don't have our house in Florida. We literally took our memories, our childhood boxes of crap, across the ocean. And getting settled in a new country was definitely challenging. And I think there was, from my point of view anyway, one of the things that helped us with that transition was I anticipated the difficulty. Like, in the back of my mind, I thought to myself, okay, it's gonna be a year of shakiness before we really find any like before we settle energetically, you know what I mean? So I think that was big for me, was just expect it to be difficult and not go into it thinking like, oh, we shouldn't be stressed. We should just be live in the let. No, like, it's going to be stressful, and just understanding that made a big difference for me.
I think it's always a good idea to kind of have those. I said it last time we talked about arguments kind of being my gauge in terms of sealing in a relationship. If you know the first time you argue with a friend, that friend just became a real friend. If you can come out the other side, and I think in this case, yeah, you can kind of expect to see, I don't want to say the worst of the other person, but the highest stressed version of the other person when you take on things like this together.
Totally. But I think that we have to not, rather, I think it's good to not necessarily see that as a bad thing. Like, there's a difference between somebody, I'm gonna use really like rudimentary words for this, but there's a difference between somebody behaving negatively and somebody being a bad person, right? So like, when we're stressed, we all are snappy, we're all like a little bit on edge. We're all not the nicest version of ourselves we can be. But just because that's the case doesn't mean like, oh wow, I married the wrong person. Look, he's such a jerk, So I think like allowing room for your partner to be a little bit unstable during difficult transitions in life is really important, So not getting overly worked up or overly offended when your partner, and I'm not talking about extreme stuff, but when your partner snaps at you in their language, not like in physical altercation, but they're like, I just need time or whatever, in a stressful time, just be like, okay, fine, like, you shouldn't speak like that, but it's fine. And I think that's a big thing with difficult transitions, is just allowing the other space to also work through their own stresses about it.
Yeah, I think that's where love the verb comes in, because that's where you kind of put it into action. And we see it in different ways where, like, somebody that let's say, somebody's son is accused of something and their parents are like, "Oh no, not my son." What are they doing there? They're basically prioritizing the love they have for their son over how the son is clearly acting. And that's the negative sense, but I think the positive sense of it is when your partner is, cranky for whatever reason, you're remembering, nope, that's my partner. Like, I love this person. Let me first try to look for why they would do something versus just get upset at the fact that they did it.
Exactly. And I think I can't remember if I said this last time or just I've said it other places, but being generous in your assumptions about people is a really great habit to bring to relationships. So yeah, like, so when your partner is short with you or they snap about something, be generous in your assumption and maybe assume that like, oh, I'm not gonna assume that they're just being an ass. I'm gonna assume they're like, oh, I wonder, did something happen at work, or did you have a awkward conversation with your sibling, or you know what I mean? Like,
Or just give them room.
yeah, or that. Yeah. So I think that's just kind of our thoughts on those kinds of transitions. But what about physical changes? And this goes both ways, because I think women ask this question a lot, where they've had kids, which I haven't experienced myself yet. But I mean, we've experienced that between each other. Not having kids, but physical changes.
I don't know what the question is.
The transition, like handling a difficult transition when it comes to physical changes. So, like weight gain or weight loss, or I guess people have, maybe if you're dealing with an illness or something, you know, how do you deal with that? I think it would seem fairly obvious about like, oh, if you get sick or whatever, if you have a baby, but maybe more cosmetic, the cosmetic side of that, like, oh wow, you've gained 15 pounds or something like that. You know, how do you bring that up to your partner, or how do you personally cope with this person changing?
Well, apparently you had a problem with that because you couldn't see it, and thank you for that. So I had to deal with it by myself.
That's context. We need context for that. So okay. Years ago, difficult time in life, Adrian gained... Oh, how much weight would you say you gained? Put a number on it for the people.
If I put a number on it, it's going to sound even worse than it was, just because you have to remember that I am 6'5".
Yeah.
But gained probably a good 50 pounds.
Yeah, okay, and that does sound like a really obvious weight gain. And I think it was, but you're also, it's very irritating that you gain weight where it's like completely evenly distributed. So like from your face to your feet, you know, it's not like you get a gut.
I know, my socks were getting tight. No. It's ridiculous.
And it's not like you got a huge gut or something, but either way you gained weight and I didn't really notice, or we were just in a different time. It was a stressful...
And I was still working out, so that's also the distribution of it was a little bit different. But
yeah.
But still, it was
It was unhealthy. It was unhealthy, for sure.
It was a lot of weight, yeah.
And I think from my perspective, I can't speak to everyone, but from my perspective, it was like... It just seriously didn't bother me at all. Now, on the other hand, I know I was listening to something a while ago where... somebody was saying that her partner gained like 10 pounds and she thought that she couldn't marry this man anymore because she was just so unattracted to him after he gained 10 pounds. And I was like, oh man, that is hard.
10 pounds is, I mean, unless you're 4 foot, 10 yeah. pounds is kind
that's
of
nothing.
like that's a small...
I think I gained that over my birthday week.
I know. I mean, that's a very, very yeah. small... And I gain and lose weight pretty quickly. So 10 pounds, my goodness, that would be...
Well, I think a big key to remember with dealing with physical changes, aside from being concerned for your partner's health and well-being, and that should always be a priority, but also that comes back to like going into the relationship assuming that this is long-term, right? You want to be with this person for a long time and you love them for healthy reasons, you know? Physical changes are kind of part of the package, you know? So whether it's having children or getting older, and it's not just with weight, but you know, you go bald or you go gray or you get wrinkles, you know, this is part of the deal, and to change the perspective from that being a wrong thing to just being cool to experience with someone.
And as far as the weight goes, I think it's very much, now I know this is, weight is a super sensitive topic, you know, especially these days, but as far as the weight goes, I think that you always have to look at the reasons for different things. So there was a clear reason why I had gained so much weight, and I think that's one of the reasons why you didn't even see it, because we were both kind of focused on what was going on at the time and the emotions around it and all that kind of stuff, and weren't really focused on anything else. So I think that's one of the things. But also going into a relationship, there's a difference between somebody who just refuses to take care of themselves mm-hmm. and somebody who's going through a rough patch and it's a little bit different, and that's completely different. If you know, I feel like if either one of us were somebody who just didn't care about taking care of themselves, ate whatever the heck they wanted, never exercised, didn't, you know, care about their health or anything like that, I think that would be a problem for the other person, for sure. Because it's part of your lifestyle. It's part of also what kind of, you know, what you I think you need to agree on to a certain degree, in terms of, you know, if the gym is super important to me, that's my life, and you never even want to go out, walk outside, that's a problem, you know?
Well, that's more about, like, that's just personality.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's more lifestyle than it is, like, the physical changes. So if a physical change is an issue, you have to look at, like, why is that physical change?
Right.
And it's more than likely the cause of the physical change that's more of a problem than the physical change itself.
Yeah, in this case, you're only talking about things that are directly within your control, like your level of fitness and weight, because...
Yeah. I mean, because weight was mine, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, kind of a question I thought was really interesting, jumping to another topic here, was... I actually had to quote it because it was so relatable, I'm sure, is that this person said, "We live our lives side by side, but not really together. How do you keep the flame burning when you work and have life stuff happening all the time?" And I love that line of, like, we live our lives side by side, but not really together. I was like, oh my gosh, I think every couple that has been together for any amount of time goes through that, especially once you're together, you know, like, you're not dating casually anymore. So the super excitement, fire of it is more tame. Yeah, I mean, how do you keep the flame burning, so to speak, when you have the rest of life to live? And I don't know, I think for me, from my perspective anyway, it comes in little things. I think we kind of touched on a variation of this last week, where not just taking the other for granted, and it can be in small actions. This isn't big, massive, statement-making things, but like... showing appreciation, a random hug, or things like this, you know?
Yeah. Well, I kind of think of it in terms of, like, if you're rolling a boulder down the hill, push it even when it's going down the hill. And by that I mean, like, at the beginning, love is, it's almost like going down the hill. You're just rolling, and you could just sit back for the ride and enjoy it, but... I think you shouldn't only enjoy it, but you should also treat it for what it is. It's love. It'll be an ongoing process and at times an effort. So if you just sit there and enjoy the ride, by the time it gets to the valley and it's time to go back up the hill,
yes,
you're like, whoa, what's going on? This was supposed
Why
to be
is this
all
hard?
Fun all the time, you know? Whereas if you're all participating in it the entire way down, once you've gained a lot of momentum by that time to go back up the next hill. So it's kind of just like an illustration, but in this case, I think it works well, because that's what it is. If you get too comfortable with how easy it is during the puppy love stage, you tend to find the contrast of after that stage to be really difficult. Whereas it doesn't necessarily have to be, and you can kind of use the momentum of the puppy love stage to establish a real connection, a real love during that time, I think.
Yeah, and I think there's a myth, or rather, it's a myth that we all make up in our heads, that after that puppy love stage is gone, and even though you love this person, we think that maybe there are people out there who... always have it easy, where they're always romantic, and you see certain couples and you think, wow, I bet you guys are just always in love, like you don't really fight, it's just easy, it's a breeze. And I think
that has to be true. I see it on Facebook all the time.
I think that is really a dangerous thing to think, because it's completely false. And even between ourselves, we talk about this sometimes, where it's like, don't kid yourself into thinking that it'll be any easier with other people or someone else. And I'm not saying, like, if you have a bad relationship, that's not what I'm talking about, but I think that every single couple who's successfully together for a long time, they will tell you that it's not just bam, you wake up and it just keeps happening. I mean, it's effort and it's work, and it's consistently considering the other person and who you are in the context of that relationship, and prioritizing the relationship above a lot of other things, and just not getting caught up in thinking that, wow, it's difficult, it's effort for us sometimes, but I bet for these other people it's not, you know?
Yeah, I honestly, And like effort and work sounds really bad for what it is, but
right.
I think it's more the anticipation that it's not going to be without that it's going to require your participation.
Yeah.
And if I think you're always prepared to participate in it, then it doesn't have to, you don't have to come out the other side exhausted too, because if it takes you by surprise that it's work and that you have to work through something, then coming out the other side, you're going to be exhausted. So you're not even going to enjoy the good time, because you're just going to be like, oh my gosh, what was that? Like, you know, but just having that expectation that, yeah, sometimes it's going to be arguments when you were expecting it to be, dirty laundry here.
Uh-oh.
When I took you to Paris, we had an argument.
Yeah.
Like, now on social, you're not gonna see that, but yeah. You know, and it was only like 4 days.
I know.
But
I know.
But you know, on social, you're not gonna see that. You're just gonna see Aaron smiling in front of the Eiffel Tower.
Right.
Like because that was part of the trip. That
mm-hmm.
was the reality of the trip. We enjoyed ourselves and we had a great time and it was a great trip. But it didn't mean that we were hopping from one cloud to the next. There were times when, you know, there was like an hour or two when we were just sitting in the room, you know, on our phones, not saying anything.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, part of it is very romantic. We're going out to dinner, whatever. And the other time is just kind of staring out the window in the Uber waiting to get back to the hotel room. Like, you know, it's the scenes that are cut out of the movies that all make a relationship. And if you think you can hop from one movie scene to another movie scene with nothing in between, it's just not gonna happen like that. There's a lot that happens in between those two scenes that basically equates to real life.
Absolutely. And I think in terms of like practical things you can do to quote unquote keep the flame burning, this is my perspective again, right? Or our perspective. But from my point of view, there's nothing that makes me feel more connected than like a real, sincere, deep conversation. So I think one of my favorite times together are when like we're in the kitchen and maybe I'm cooking dinner and you're just in there with me and we're chatting about
doing nothing as usual.
No,
I like the image that you're painting.
It's just one example. Okay.
Yeah.
Or when you're cleaning
when
and
I'm
just
hard at
around.
Work and you're just pointing things out that I'm doing wrong.
No.
Yeah.
No, it goes both ways. But you know, when we're doing something and it's just like a kind of more relaxed environment and I'm telling you about, oh, I was listening to this podcast and they were saying, here's this topic they painted out, this idea they painted out, and then we talk about this idea. Or I read this article or I'm reading this book and we talk about the thing, the topic, the subject at hand, or like, saw a funny thing, did you see that, right?
Well, okay, so on that topic, just
yeah.
to interrupt you real quick, that's, it's a mutual interest.
Yeah.
That you're taking something in.
Exactly. Well, that's where I was getting.
Yeah. So.
I think, and that's where I was heading with that. Is that I think it's helpful when you don't simply recount events of your day, which are important, especially when you don't work together, right?
Right.
So like, oh my gosh, this happened at work, and you're talking and you're having a conversation about that thing. But if you find yourself doing the same things, talking about the same things, take something else in, something new, and I think, you know, don't get caught up in it being, it has to be like really exotic and totally random and different than what you're used to. But like, listen to a podcast for 10 minutes, you know, and just like, you will inevitably hear something that just makes you interested, curious, and you'll share that. And, you know, that's something to share, something that starts a conversation. So I think we both take in a lot of stuff, you know, whether it's
yeah.
reading or writing or listening, watching. So we take in a lot of stuff, so we're pretty much never at a loss of things to talk about. But I think that fuels the connection, because once we're connected, then we're disconnected from the distractions, and then we can be together.
And I think the other part is one of my favorite things from, it's actually Tony Robbins is one of the people who talked about it, but talked about surprise rituals. And I just like the terming of that. It's basically the concept of making it a habit to surprise your partner with something nice. And it doesn't have to be big. It doesn't actually, it's good when it's small, when it's little details that you paid attention to that say, oh, you like these? I got these for you. Or, oh, you like it when this happens? I made that happen. Or whatever. Small little things, just a surprise ritual, something that you don't normally do that you do, that you look for, you know, little things, but you make them part of the ritual of your relationship, so they're a part of it. It's not like that's why I actually make, I just never like Valentine's Day, because I feel like it kind of, not to be that guy, but it kind of perpetuates the whole you forgot your partner for the other 364 days, how about this? Like, on this day, you do something for your partner. You bring them something nice that they like. Like, okay, what about in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Like, and if those type of things are built into your relationship, it forces the other person to pay attention to you in a different way. Like, you're not always, you know, it's always, it's funny when you go to a cash register and you're checking out and you're talking to the cashier. If you follow the same script that the cashier is used to, they'll just kind of follow the same script. All right, thank you for coming, blah, 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 done. But just ask a question that they're not expecting. Like, oh, do you, you know, you see a tattoo, you're like, oh, what was the reason for that tattoo? All of a sudden that their entire demeanor changes. Everything changes about them because they're no longer in the habit of their daily day. You broke them out of it. And I think that's what the surprise rituals do. They break each other out of the kind of habit of interacting the same way every day.
Exactly. And I think it can be seriously a million different things. And it can be the tiniest thing or something bigger. But, like, you've done really silly things for me before. Like,
thank you.
You bring, you know, like you brought me a six-pack bat. It was like tied together, basically, is candy. It was peanut M&Ms.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just like a bag of six little bags of peanut M&Ms. Not special, just like a bag of them. But I this is my favorite candy in the world, and I never eat them. So when you brought them randomly back to the house that one day, I would like made my day. I was like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever. Or when you get roses randomly, or just random flowers, or you got me lemon olive oil one time, just.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, it can be something so small. I made you banana bread the other day just because you like it, you know. So yeah. It's just.
By the way, we have bananas.
We have bananas that are overripe. Hint, hint. What do we do? yeah, so I think that is true. It is just a little thing. And I think maybe one reason why people don't do stuff like that is because you feel like it won't be appreciated. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe, or that it has to be big, you know.
Yeah.
And I think the more often you do those little things and you get into the habit of it, they don't have to be big, because they accumulate, and then your partner starts to see, oh, like, they care.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an important thing, especially early on in the relationship. And that goes back to pushing the boulder down the hill, not just like going with it where you just don't think about these things, but you think about them even earlier on in the relationship when everything's easy.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're gonna have like a lighter question, I think, an easier question maybe, before we go into some bigger topics, and that is, how do you deal when the other is in a bad mood? So funny story.
Go ahead.
Before we were filming this, I was a little grumpy. And we had to talk about it.
We had a timeout.
No, I think it depends on the person, obviously. But for us, wow, I'll be honest with you guys. I'm not very good at this, to be honest. I mean, I'm not bad, but it's been like a learning process. Because, okay, this is why. We have very different personalities. So I think it has nothing to do with even the fact that you're a man, but your personality type is extremely intense, you know, like you're an intense individual and I'm not. So your bad mood is always really like, I'm not going to go near it. You know, that's how it feels. So it takes some practice when you feel like your partner is way maybe on a different end of the spectrum. Because for me, a bad mood means like maybe I have a little bit of an attitude and that's annoying. But it's not gonna like ruin your whole day,
So what you're
right?
saying, what, so no, I like,
Right?
so what you're saying is that you're not as bad as I am. That's what you're
Is that
saying.
what I'm saying?
That's kind of what you're saying.
Okay, from
No,
my perspective,
my,
yes.
yeah, mine's more quiet, kind of leave me alone type of.
Super pensive, yeah. But
Yeah,
I don't.
and then you're like, but you don't like that.
Right.
You don't like if I go off into my own little world and get quiet. So you come poke the bear a little bit. What you doing?
What you
What you
doing?
doing?
What's up?
Yeah, that kind of thing to try to get me out. Yeah, no, yours is definitely you don't want to. Yeah, you'll just not want to do anything. No,
Yeah.
I don't want to do it. I don't know. Okay. Okay, but we have
Just
to,
go into my
so.
cave. I think it come, you know, dealing with some with the other when they're in a bad mood, it comes from kind of knowing their personality, you
Yeah.
know, and respecting what they would want, not what you would want, and leading with that. So, I mean, and I think there's a balance with it because while you if you're in a bad mood and you want to be totally by yourself, ultimately, deep down, you don't want to wallow in your loneliness.
Right.
So, you know, I try to give you time, but I don't let you sit there, you know, for an entire
Yeah, you don't
day.
like, all right, I'm going off with my friends.
Exactly,
Bye. Yeah,
exactly.
no, yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think,
Or you make me banana bread.
or make you banana
Look
bread.
at that. That's the third time it
So,
came up. Huh.
so weird.
That is weird.
So weird. Yeah, so I think it just comes from
Did I mention
knowing.
paying attention to details? No? Okay. Anyway,
People are
yeah.
gonna wonder if I made banana bread
Yeah,
or
I
not.
know. So did you make the banana bread? No. So what was it? Oh yeah, well, I was gonna say in regards to you, I know for you it's laughter.
Yeah.
Laughter will make you feel a little bit better enough to kind of peek your head out from the mood that you're in.
That's true.
So yeah, I think I mean that's not a generalized question. I mean, almost nothing is a generalized question
Right.
really. It's very specific to the personality type. One of the things that we've struggled with in regards to that is if I'm in a bad mood because it tends to be super heavy, you then will turn around and be in a bad mood as a
Yep.
result of that, which helps absolutely nothing. If
Okay.
there's any generality, that's what not to do. If your partner's in a bad mood, do not you yourself get
Mirror
into a
them?
bad mood. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. But I mean, hold on though, because I mean, it's normal, like I'm gonna say they because I've read several books where it talks about that, but like scientists say that anxiety, for example, is quote unquote contagious. So like if
Yeah.
you live in an anxious household, like your kids can become anxious, right? So I do think that our moods affect the people that we are around. And especially in our case, which is kind of unique, we are around each other all day, every day. So it's not like I am in one space, you're in another space, and then we come to a neutral common ground with our individual moods. It's like this is the space that we inhabit all day, all the time. And so whatever is dominating here is what everybody feels.
Right,
So.
but if you have the benefit of whatever is making that person in a bad mood not being what makes you in a bad mood, you have a little bit easier of a time staying in a positive mood because you know you have to. It's an intention though.
Well,
It
that's,
is an
yeah.
intention. So like if you're in a bad mood, like I could easily just get upset because you're upset. And I'm like,
Exactly.
why are you? But if what's bothering you isn't directly affecting me, then I try to say, okay, let me see how I can fix this and not fall into it so that our entire house is in a bad mood,
Right.
you know? And if we had a dog, he'd be in a bad mood, and then, you know, everybody would be in a bad mood. They're just, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's like the difficult part of relationship. One of the difficult parts of relationships, I think, is that so much of it, I think, is putting your ego aside, you know, because that scenario, right? So like you get frustrated about something, I don't know, trivial, it doesn't matter. You lose something and you're mad about it. for me to then be mad and then be mad that you're making me mad, you know, like I'm making this up, you all probably understand what I'm saying, right? Like you can get upset at your partner for setting the tone that you don't like. Mm-hmm. And I think that can be harmful because then it's really hard to do this, but it's more beneficial to, in that case, be the one that's like, okay, hold on, let me not get carried away by this. Hey, what's going on? Why is this so upsetting? You know, like, and just try to diffuse it a little bit. And chances are, just by your energy being the calmer one, that influences too. And it might be slower, but that also influences. So not getting so swept up in the emotion and then nothing gets resolved and it just gets worse. But that comes from being like, okay, I'm going to put my ego aside. My desire to get angry is not as important as is to try to get to the bottom of whatever's happening.
Yeah, again, and that's another example of the concept of love taking over. It's like, okay, let me find out what's wrong with this individual instead of just focusing on how it's affecting me.
Yeah.
And it's not always easy, for sure, depending on how, you know, especially when you are having the kind of an okay day, you don't have that much energy to spare. It's not always easy, but it's definitely worth it if you can get through it. It'll diminish the amount of time that you have with like a bad mood kind of hovering over your house.
Exactly. So how about we dive into some deeper water here?
Yeah, that wasn't deep enough. Okay.
Well, this question came up a few times, or this topic came up a few times after last week's episode, and it was, how does your different race and culture affect your relationship?
What?
How does your different race and culture affect...
You're not black?
Affect your...
Oh my gosh.
I know. Whoops.
Can you pause?
this question I almost not blank on answering. I'll just sort of go back to the beginning, because to be very honest with you, I really don't think about it anymore. But initially, our race, I don't even think our race was an issue initially, except just to be totally frank, I think if any person out there who is white, or even if you're not white, I don't know, who is white, who's dated someone who's not white, you have that like heads up with your family, because you don't know how they're going to react, or you're like, okay, so I'm going to bring this person home. Just by the way, they're that, whatever, fill in the blank, you know. And it's not even that my family is like racist or something. I didn't really know, to be honest. I really didn't know, because I had one negative experience with one of my parents, with somebody else I had dated. And I'm just going to leave that really vague. I'm sure you can guess. But anyway, so I was like, you know, I wanted to put that out there, but otherwise it wasn't an issue. And even what I thought was awesome was my grandmother, who is 93, immediately, like, didn't miss a beat. It was like nothing. She just never even thought twice about you, like never said anything. Just the first moment she met you, she gave you a big hug and a kiss on the cheek, and she loved you instantly. She gave us a present for like living together, you know, like, so from that point, it wasn't really an issue in that way, like from the superficial standpoint. Someone that I worked with called me an N-word lover when they found out that you were black, so that was eye-opening.
I think from your side it'd be more eye-opening stuff. From within the relationship, I think there's like so a lot of times when we talk about race, we're talking about how we were raised almost more than we were talking about the color of our skin. Because unless somebody is racist, where you really believe that that person is just not a human if they're not white or whatever, you're not, most of the time you're talking about, you know, cultural, how you were raised differences. And we had some by default because I was, you know, French and American.
We had tons.
We had so many of them that were based on, but they didn't cause conflict. They were just more things that we kind of learned about each other. Even like the smallest little thing, which again, this has nothing to do with race, but it has to do with how we were raised. You would run into people that you went to middle school and like kindergarten with, which was so weird for me because I hadn't lived in the same place for like more than a few years. So, you know, it was like these different things based on how we were raised differently that kind of came up to play. But we, in terms of race, yeah, I mean, you had some external things like that guy at the gym that called you that or whatever. You know, it's around. It matters to people in our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't really
play. Well, I'm gonna stop you for one second. Okay. Because I think there, and this is where it gets really sensitive, I think. So I wanna preface this by saying that every single person is likely to have a different experience with this. And it was my, so this is just ours, you know. But one thing that I found interesting that I think made a difference was you in your household, you were kind of raised with the belief that you can do whatever you want. Don't even think about the color of your skin in that way. Just go out and live your life and be who you are, use your strengths. And it was like that race, it was almost an afterthought in a good way, like you didn't lead with it. So I never felt like, again, which I had experienced the other side of, you didn't come to our relationship like educating me about race or racism. It wasn't like a political conversation between us or anything.
No, we met as two humans. And and that's a good point too. So, because I do think... it's funny because
I feel
this
like
is,
we might start to get shit about this.
Well, oh yeah, yeah. This is like how you know with the feminist movement, if a woman says I like to cook, I like to stay at home, this is what I want to do, how you would get shit for it because well that's not what you're supposed to do because you're supposed to be blah 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 from the extremists.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So in the black community, you also have. A lot of, so it's funny in basketball you have a lot of it because it's just like it's that type of environment. But so light skinned people are always seen as softer than darker skinned people
in basketball,
but in general too.
Okay.
When you're like on the court, you know, so that's something that you just play your game, you overcome, you just ignore, blah blah blah, but. That criticism goes on for me because if I'm with a white girl, which I've heard that criticism as well, like, oh, well, that's, you know, you're all this from black women or from whoever, you get the same kind mm-hmm. of, you know, deal everywhere. And I understand where people are coming from in that in terms of, you know, their feelings and emotions and about the whole issue. But for me, it's true that I never walk into a room and think I am white or I am black or I am mixed or I am anything. I always just walk into a room and think I am me. What does that room have to offer? That approach means that there's not that immediate wall. As long if you don't have a wall, I don't have a wall.
Right.
So if you don't lead with I'm a white woman walking in here. You know,
does anyone
I don't know, you know, if you don't lead with that, then I'm not leading with that, so
right.
that so now we can both kind of match at where both people you know, I've had my share of issues. I've had relationships be broken up by the parents because of the fact that that I wasn't white. I was the you know, the better kid of the two people that this girl dated. I was the better kid. I didn't smoke weed at the time. I didn't do any of that
stuff.
Well,
you don't smoke weed now.
Yeah, I say at the time. So I didn't do any of that. Like, this guy did all of that. He sold drugs. He did all that stuff. But they were fine with her dating him, but not with me. And me, they actually broke me up. He took me aside, told me wherever I go, she won't be there, blah, blah, blah. So I have experienced that kind of stuff in the past. And then on the other side, I've experienced, you know, being accused of dating a white girl. So, you know, and like that's a negative thing or something. So I've been kind of experienced both sides, but I don't really identify with those experiences, which means that I experience them and I understand them and I know what I am. I mean, I'm not, you know, stupid. I know what I am. Mm-hmm. I can see, but I don't lead with any of that. And I think that's allowed us to kind of connect on a deeper level and not have to deal with our walls clashing and figuring out how to get around that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think in that way, race hasn't really, the race conversation in that way or conflict hasn't been between us at all.
No, between us, no. I think it's been around us.
Yes, yeah.
And I think that has, but, you know, funnily enough, my parents, it was similar for mm-hmm. my parents because my dad's black, my mom's white. And for them, it was, and that's what I grew up seeing. It mm-hmm. was around.
Mm-hmm.
It was the school that I went to where they weren't happy because we were in the South, you know. They weren't happy with that. There were people around that were criticizing either my dad or my mom, and there were issues like that. But within the family, we were just us,
mm-hmm.
and we were happy, and it was love. So it didn't feel like color mattered. It felt like it mattered to the outside,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't matter to us. So when we came together, it didn't matter to if it didn't matter to you, it didn't matter to me.
Right.
You know. So that's kind of. What were you gonna say?
You know, actually, I forgot what I was gonna
I'm
say.
Sorry.
No, I was trying to interrupt you, and that serves me because now I don't know what I was gonna say. Well, you know, I'm sure I'll think of it the second we stop recording, and then you know, that'll be that.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so from that, which is kind of like the other side of that coin, is kind of the culture, like how has our different cultures affected our relationship? And I actually think this one has been more so than our race, because I grew up in a very typical suburban white middle class household where, like, you know, okay, went to Catholic school for a long time, then I went to public school, and I had like a somewhat, not saying negative, just like somewhat distanced relationship from my parents. Like, I was always close to my friends, and my parents were my parents, and I was always very I think in America, we have a very independent perspective. Like, we're very independent. So you don't think of your future in terms of you and your parents and your and all of that as a unit. You think of you yourself going forward with whoever you meet and have kids with, you know, or don't have kids with, whatever. And so that was me. Like, so I was kind of separate from my family in that way, which in every possible way conflicts with French, European, and your individual culture. Like,
well, on top of it, mine, because I mean, my mom's French, but my dad was not French. But either way, our culture was not at all. And the culture, more specifically within my family, which was very specific in itself, was 100% like, it's a family unit moving forward. So how are we going to tackle this world, basically? And that, I think, there were some definite adjustments there. There was some relationship adjustments too, like how we would approach things, the being grateful for little things, you know, that the partner did or stuff like that. There were little things that we kind of had to adjust so I would say definitely there was a lot more on the cultural side.
Big time.
And how we were raised, that we had to adjust than anything else.
Yeah.
Internally.
Yeah. So I think those are kind of the main differences. But I think as long as you both, so much about what makes your relationship work, I think comes down to, do you both ultimately want the same thing? Because I think even if race was a really loaded conversation between us, or culture still was a loaded conversation between us, what's at the end of this road? Do we want to be together? Okay, then let's go back to the beginning and take actions that will keep us together so that we can hit our ultimate goal, which is to stay together. So I think even if it's difficult, even if you have really opposing opinions or experiences, you can make it work if your goal is to be together, because you'll find ways to compromise and make it so, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think one of the biggest things is you have to connect with the person beneath the level of any labels. So I don't connect with you even as a man to a woman, or as you know, black and white and whatever else. I connect to you as you. And I think that's the connection that will weather the storm of, because nothing, like the world won't keep you together. Like your
Yes,
surrounding
exactly.
world won't keep you together.
Yes.
So if you have any type of you know, any type of kind of like break between you or wall between you, it's going to be pulled at. And I think the only way to kind of make sure that it's a solid connection is to connect to each other below the le the those levels. Not to say that, oh, you don't realize the other, or you're blind to color. It's not that. It's just that you don't connect on that level. You connect way more on the, I guess to be corny, the spiritual level, the person themselves, to where nothing matters. You know, there was a funny skit from Dave Chappelle, and he had played, however you feel about him, I personally think he's funny, but he had played this racist blind black guy. So he didn't know he was blind. He was
You mean he
adopted,
didn't know
and
he was black?
I mean, he didn't know he was black. Of course, yeah. Sorry, he knew he's blind. Sorry, he didn't know he was black. He was adopted into this community, and they all lied to him and told him he was white, you know, because they loved him, they didn't want to, you know, hurt him. And but they it was a community of all these racist people, and he was himself racist. And basically it ended up that he discovered he was black, and he divorced his wife for being you know, someone who married a black person. And that's you know, it's kind of a stupid, funny example, but that's an example of the labels being more important than the interconnection. And there'll be times where society will try to pull you apart based on your labels, and it's only the interconnections that will keep you together. We see it now in society. The only thing that will keep people together are the true beneath the label connections, because the labels right now are being torn apart. If you're black, you're not doing what you should be doing as a black man. If you're white, you're not supposed to be doing, you know, you're not doing the proper thing as a white man. If you're a woman or this or that, what you're not doing what you should be doing. And it's pulling us apart by the labels. And if that's how we connect with each other, by labels, then we will be pulled apart. But if there's something deeper underneath the labels, that can't be pulled apart by your environment.
Yeah, I agree. That was
Sorry. Yeah,
I
that
feel
was.
like I should applaud
Yeah,
now.
that was
No,
went a little deep. You were right
I
about the
like it
deeper
though.
questions.
I like it though. I think another thing I heard, kind of as a general, like to zoom out away from the individual questions, is that relationships today have turned into kind of the end all be all, you know? So what used to be a community, right? So like you have your, let's say generations and generations ago, you had the person you married, which for better or worse was economical and was like based on convenience and what you should do. And then you had your friends, you had your other extended family, whether it was cousins or siblings or parents, and you had maybe people you worked alongside, and we had very diverse different kinds of relationships. Whereas now our romantic relationships are kind of they're supposed to quote unquote take the place of everything, of our friends and our romantic partners and our mentors and our confidants and all of these different roles, which can put a lot of strain on relationships. And I think having conversations and being honest and giving your partner some freedom to have independence, to be themselves, to be who they are, to have different experiences, whatever the case is, you know, it will go a long way in keeping the relationship healthy for the long haul. And so I guess that is pretty much the end of the questions that we had. Do you have any other final notes?
Oh, well, we were just talking about this earlier when you were talking about the, you know, being letting your partner be an independent person. I think one of the things that helped us a lot is we both kind of came into this relationship having an idea of who we wanted to be as an individual.
Yeah,
that's true. So we weren't looking for the other person to make us into that.
Mm-hmm.
We were on our routes for, and in some cases that actually made it challenging at times. But we were kind of like independent people, and when we come together we're still these independent people, but when you see, like, I'm pretty self-sufficient, but having you in my life is like, wow, this is awesome. Like it boosts me even further than I would be able to go. So that I feel like I only see it that way because I don't depend on you to be everything, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't depend on you to make me who I am.
Yes.
So I get to just be grateful for how much you contribute to my life, how much you add to my life without this huge expectation of you being my entire life, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Where I don't have to be your entire life. I get to support you, and I get to encourage you to do the things that you like to do. And in this particular case, I get to be the corner prop to your to your show.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's a... Yeah, exactly. You're the corner prop.
Yeah, exactly. You're the corner prop.
Right. That sounds right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, that's not what I meant.
Instagram husbands unite.
I was saying that... I was going to say that... it is that where when you look to any other human to fulfill you and to fill your soul, you know, and I think, you know, I've heard so many stories from people who, like, get divorced or they split up with a partner. And I mean, listen, I have nothing against divorce or splitting up. Like, that's gotta happen a lot. but like, I think I always wonder when people say, like, it wasn't the fairy tale that I expected, it wasn't fulfilling anymore. And I wonder, like, what did you expect? You know, what do you mean it wasn't the fairy tale? Duh. You know, like, I mean, it's not a fairy tale every day, even if it's good. It's not
a fairy tale. When you think about the fairy tales, right?
Isn't there tragedy in there?
Well, no. Well, even when you think about the fairy tales,
yeah.
Where does a fairy tale start and end? Like, it starts in the search,
mm-hmm.
and it ends with the finding.
Yeah, true.
After that, it doesn't, like, you don't have, like, what happened with Snow White and her prince afterwards. Afterwards, he was sitting there leaving the bathroom door open, and she was, you know, and she was like, I don't know, doing something else. And that whole, like, that's what actually, she was probably like leaving her stuff all over the bathroom floor, and they were arguing, and like, that's the continuation of this fairy tale. So even if you're looking for a fairy tale, it's funny how we apply what is basically a very small snapshot of the journey, right, to the rest of the relationship. How are you supposed to experience searching for your Prince Charming during a relationship when you're supposed to be with them? Like, this is the continuation of the fairy tale.
Yeah, and maybe that's a whole other conversation. But then I'm like, man, maybe now what a lot of people actually want is to just date a lot of people, because then you get the thrill and the excitement. Yeah. And I'm not saying that as a negative thing. I'm saying, like, maybe if that's the thing that's really fun, like, maybe keep doing that.
Well, I think I think you're right. Like, there are a lot of pressures that kind of push you into it,
mm-hmm.
both social pressures, but also physical pressures. I mean, like it or not, if you want to have children, there are certain limits.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen those limits pushed for sure.
Mm.
But, you know, maybe around 50 or 60, you might want
to... You start to wonder if it's too late.
Well, you might want to consider, you know, if that's the route that you want to go.
Yeah.
So, obviously, there's a lot of pressures on there. And even for, you know... I know that for me it was very much like, you know, financial pressures when I was younger. It was like, okay, yeah, that's great, but I want to be in a certain position financially before, you know, going into relationships. And I mean, as in high school, like, or in college rather, all I did was business. I didn't want to date because I didn't have any money. So I was just like, didn't feel like being in an awkward situation. So I was just kind of stayed to myself, focus on my business, and that was it. And, but I think that, yeah, there are a lot of these pressures, you know, social pressures to kind of force people to find the person and do it now.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's just not the stage that you're in, you know? And there was also that, I don't know if I talked about it last time, the book that ruined so many guys' lives.
Yeah,
the,
you did.
I did, yes. That
he's
was,
just not that into
he's
you.
He's just not that into you, right. Like, no, maybe he's not ready to settle down, in which case, don't stick around and just, you know, be hurt by it, but just accept the fact that that's just not the stage that they're in. It has nothing to do with you, per se.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there's just so many different factors there.
Yeah, relationships in general are just, I feel like you could talk forever, not you, maybe you could probably talk forever about, but...
We're already at an hour, so... Yeah.
I know, but yeah, I think you can, there's really no end to how many different directions you can take this in, but for now, I will cut it there. I'll call it again for the second time, and maybe that's it. but yeah, as usual, I really would love, we both would love to hear from you. So if you have input, or you had something that really resonated, or just a concept that you've experienced, or something you've experienced, we'd love to hear from you. So you can feel free to shoot us an email to help@badyogi.com, or find me on Instagram @badyogiofficial and send me a quick direct message. I always love hearing from you guys. So that's all for today. Remember, there's 3 ways you can practice yoga with me. On badyogi.com for all things free. My 8-week yoga program, PBYP, that's perfectbodyyogaprogram.com, where we believe that the perfect body is really just the healthiest version of the body you already have. It's not mine, it's not your best friend's, it's not some fitness model's, it's yours. And lastly, you can practice with me inside the digital Bad Yogi Studio at studio.badyogi.com, and that's a constantly growing library. I add brand new full-length classes every single week, and we launch different yoga series kind of within there. So thank you all so much for joining us today. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you right back here next time.